Hello, NFL football fans. Welcome back to NFLExporter.com. You're listening to the Pure NFL podcast where we talk strictly NFL football. You're listening to our preseason view. We're getting ready here. Preseason football, division by division, team by team, taking a look at how teams stack up to win their division and ultimately how these teams are looking to try to get into the postseason. Got a ton of great special guests joining me this preseason. And today I've got with me Grant Cohn, covers the San Francisco 49ers, columnist for the Santa Rosa Press. If you have to excuse me, I may have that a little bit off. But nonetheless, let's give him a warm round of applause. And Grant, how is everything going today?
Man, I'm hanging in there. I just finished day 11 of training camp, and I feel as worn down as a player, even though I didn't actually have to play football. But, you know, I'm just a journalist, so I'm not as tough as those guys. I'm taking it one day at a time, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm down here in L.A. where, you know, we get these late summers. So, man, while everybody is still enjoying, you know, kind of in the middle of their summer for the most part, things are just heating up out here, nonstop 90-degree days. So I'm trying to spend as many days down by the water as possible. And then obviously excited. Preseason first week in full starts this week. So definitely excited about that and excited to be talking 49ers football with you today. And to that end, let's go ahead and jump into it. First question for you, Grant. A lot of teams, I kind of get mixed reviews. You know, some people feel this can be a very good season for the 49ers, other people not so. How do you see the 49ers stacking up against the other top teams in the NFC in no particular order? I think that Philadelphia, Minnesota, Dallas, Chicago, the Rams, Seattle, New Orleans, Atlanta, out of those teams I just named, all of them made the playoffs last year with the exception of Atlanta. So how do you see the 49ers stacking up against those teams this year?
Well, I see them finishing 6-10, so I don't know where that has them stacking up against the rest of the NFC, but probably pretty low. I mean, I think a lot of people see them as being more like 9-7, 10-6. The over-under in Vegas is 8-8. And I think it's just depending on how optimistic you want to be, like how much you want to see things from the Niners' perspective. Because from their perspective, they have everything they need. They've got all the players they want. They're year three of their systems. They should be good. They should make a run for the playoffs right now. But the thing with the Niners is things never work out the way they expect them to work out. They're not like the Seahawks or the Rams. They're not an elite organization. They've kind of been getting in their own way for 20 years, except for like that little brief period with Harbaugh. I mean, they're kind of like the Bengals. I mean, they find ways to blow things, to lose games. And so just look at their defensive line. It's supposed to be the best in the league. It's one of the most expensive in the league. There's five first-round picks on it. Right now, the top four defensive ends are hurt already. So we went from being the deepest thing in position group on the team to being one of the thinnest. And that's just kind of the Niners in a nutshell. Every year they have injuries. Every year they find ways to lose close games. So until I see more of like until I respect their organization more, and that has nothing to do with their GM, their head coach. It's just a losing culture that's been ingrained for decades, heading back to like 2002. I mean, here's all you need to know about the 49ers, okay? Let's not even talk about their roster yet. All you need to know about the 49ers is they've lost 8 straight to the Arizona Cardinals. 8 in a row. So you could say, like, maybe their roster is looking better and maybe they could turn things around. But this is a team that couldn't even beat the Cardinals once last year. And the Cardinals were worse than them. So as long as that's where they're working from, a 4-win team that can't beat Arizona, I'm going to pump the brakes on this team making a massive turnaround and winning 10 games going to the playoffs. I just don't feel they have that type of winning culture in Santa Clara yet.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I'm kind of more on the side of, you know, somewhere between 6-10 and 8-8. You know, when I look at the roster and I look at how tough the NFC is, I'm like you, you know, I haven't seen enough yet to make me believe otherwise. And to that end, let's talk about their offense and defense. Let's start on offense. Obviously Jimmy Garoppolo returning from an ACL injury. They're pretty deep at running back. You know, Jerick McKinnon's returning from an ACL. You got Matt Breida They brought over Tevin Coleman from the Atlanta Falcons, so you have some diversity. Pretty good group there in the backfield. At wide receiver, you have Marquise Goodwin. You have Dante Pettis as the top two receivers. We know that George Kittle kind of blew onto the scene last year. I think he's a certified guy at that tight end that they can definitely depend on. And then you look at the offensive line and what they have to offer. And so on the offensive side of the football, how do you see this thing working out with Jimmy Garoppolo, him and Kyle Shanahan, you know, those guys? What's supposed to be the game plan? How is this offense supposed to be operating if things go as expected this year?
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be a great offense. I mean, Shanahan believes he's the best offensive coordinator in the league, and he believes he has guys. Here's the way I size up the players on the offense. I mean, the running back position is deep. They got four guys there. Now, Jerick McKinnon just came off PUP. He went through 2 days of practice and suffered a second setback with his ACL. He's going to miss the next 2 weeks. He might start the season on IR. I'm not sure he's ever really going to come back. I mean, a scat back who relies on speed and quickness, who tears his ACL, may never have the speed and quickness that made him good. I mean, he thought like he was special before the injury. He was a backup who was going to supposedly take a big leap here. Anyway, so even besides him, they're deep at running back. They got three guys there, plus a quality fullback. They're deep at tight end. They got George Kittle, and they got this new kid, Ross Dwelly, who was a rookie last year, spent a lot of time in the practice squad. He's killing in camp. He looks like a major upgrade over Garrett Celek, so that's good. I mean, they're even deep at quarterback. If Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't work out or gets injured again or is kind of rusty, they still have Nick Mullins, who played just as well as Jimmy Garoppolo in the system. I mean, he doesn't have the same arm strength as Jimmy Garoppolo, but their production is pretty much identical. So that's a nice thing to have. I mean, my questions with the offense are the offensive line, first of all. That offensive line gave up a ton of hits last year. Not a ton of sacks, but more hits, a lot of hits. And that's going to be, especially the interior, the guards in the center, are they going to be able to protect Jimmy Garoppolo, who needs protection coming off his torn ACL? Right now, the starting center, Richburg, has missed OTAs, minicamp, all of training camp, and they're saying hopefully he can come back week one. So that's not good because the backup is a guy named Ben Garland, who's made 7 starts in 7 years, I think. So that's a question, the offensive line. And then the other question for me is the wide receiver group, because this is basically going to make or break the team. Kyle Shanahan he's traded up for Dante Pettis early in the second round and traded Deebo Samuel. They haven't spent big on wide receivers in free agency, but they've made major investments in the position. And so far in training camp, no one's really stepping up. Like you said, the starters are Marquise Goodwin and Dante Pettis. Let me give you some stats. Marquise Goodwin has been targeted 12 times by Jimmy Garoppolo in 11-on-11. He's only caught 4 passes, so that's 33%. Then you got Dante Pettis has received 22 targets from Jimmy Garoppolo in 11-on-11 and caught only 8 passes. That's 36%. So they have a major problem at wide receiver. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo is very good throwing over the middle, and he could throw to any number of running backs, a fullback, a tight end, a slot receiver in Trent Taylor. But if that's all he has is targets over the middle, defenses will just pack the middle of the field and force him to throw outside the numbers, and he'll have a major problem. So while it seems like everything depends on this quarterback coming off an ACL surgery, I think it more might depend on his protection, especially at the middle, and his talent outside the numbers, because I don't see much.
Yeah, sounds accurate, very accurate to me. Your question marks are that of mine. Like you said, wide receiver, especially not having a dominant guy, maybe not even in name, but stature as well. You know, they don't really have a 6'2", 6'3", you know, a guy in the mold of a Julio Jones or a Michael Thomas, or, you know, just a guy who can just physically impose his will on the defense. And then, like you said, the offensive line definitely is a question mark, especially when you think about Jimmy Garoppolo, who was pretty nimble, not a guy, you know, you're afraid of scrambling, but certainly could do some things with his feet to get out of trouble and throw on the run. So the protection is definitely going to need to be there for him to get settled in. Let's flip things now over to the defensive side of the football. You talked about that defensive line, the front seven. We talked about, you know, Solomon Thomas, obviously Buckley. You talk about Nick Bosa, the rookie, D Ford. So the front seven is the area that, like you said, appears to me that they're certainly looking to get after the quarterback. I know if your secondary is weak, that can certainly be an area to help. Getting to the quarterback that much quicker can help if your secondary is weak. And then also at linebacker, you'll be able to fill us in a little bit. I don't know if they have a dominant guy there. I know they brought over the veteran Malcolm Smith, but obviously the loss of excuse me, the linebacker they drafted from Alabama a couple years ago, definitely hurt because he's a guy that's supposed to be in that front seven making a lot of noise. Quan Alexander came over from Tampa Bay. So I think from a when you look at it on paper, when healthy, I think you like the potential of the front seven. My big question mark is definitely in the secondary. Can Richard Sherman get back up to speed, I would say, just in terms of, you know, in my opinion, certainly not taking anything away from Richard Sherman and what he's been able to do, what he did in Seattle, but they had such a great defense. You talk about having guys to get after the quarterback, but they were so studded in their front seven that I think he just fit into that system perfectly. You know, I don't know how much we'll be able to see this year because last year he's recovering from an injury, so we'll be able to see firsthand, I think, exactly how good of a cover guy he is. Don't know too many other guys in their secondary. So let's talk about the 49ers defense. Again, right now, definitely banged up. But, again, if things go according to plan, or at least when these guys get healthy, what's supposed to be the game plan of attack?
Yeah, well, the secondary was historically bad last year, only two interceptions week low. I mean, that's like a new record. And I think only 37 pass breakups, which I think is another new record. I mean, it was historically bad. They weren't even close to the ball. They kind of just wait for the guy to catch the ball and then tackle them. So, and they acknowledge that the secondary was closest, but their game plan was not to address the secondary at all. Bring back the same exact players except for bringing Jason Verrett, who can't stay healthy. Sorry, Jason. And just improve the front seven, in particular the pass rush. And they're thinking, you know, a stronger pass rush will give quarterbacks less time to throw and will make defensive backs better. Only problem with that is so far, as I mentioned earlier, the top four defensive ends are hurt. Armstead's out, calf injury, Nick Bosa, high ankle sprain, Dee Ford, knee tendonitis, and Ronald Blair, groin. So I think three of those injuries don't really concern me. Even the Nick Bosa one with the high ankle sprain, I mean, the high ankle sprain, it hurts and it knocks you out for a month or two, but it's not going to really affect his career. My question with him really for is the Joey Bosa question, like his older brother, like, once he gets hurt, will he ever play through injury, or will he? How long will he stay out? Because Joey missed 10 weeks last year with a foot injury. Is Nick gonna miss 4 weeks with this? You know, is he gonna miss 4 weeks of the regular season? Like, is he? How much time is he really gonna miss? Because I kind of think it's always gonna be more than less with the Bosa's. But that's still only temporary. We're talking a month or two with him. The question I have, I'm more concerned with Dee Ford. He's 28. He has knee tendonitis, and the way they talked about it was they were surprised, like. He went through minicamp, and then he went through the first day of training camp, and then he took himself out. He was like, yeah, you know, I get this every year. My knee kind of acts up. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, then in that case, better to handle it now, give him a PRP injection, which is like just like platelet-rich plasma. Anyway, my question is, did they know he had knee tendonitis before they traded for him and trade for him anyway? Because that would be concerning. I mean, it also explains why maybe the Chiefs didn't want him and wanted Frank Clark to extend. Another question would be, did they not know that he had knee tendonitis? Like, did their new training staff like miss that? Because if they did, that's troubling too. If they knew it's troubling, if they didn't know it's troubling, and this is something that will linger. I mean, he's going to have this the rest of his life. And the only question is it going to get worse? So people are really wringing their hands about Nick Bosa right now. I'm more concerned about Dee Ford. I think that's potentially a major, major mistake if they got a guy, if they got damaged goods. Nick Bosa should be okay eventually. So that's the D line. DeForest Buckner is still an excellent player, somehow underrated. Whenever he's on the field in practice, the Niners' offense can't really even do much. I mean, they can't run the ball at all his direction. They have to run away from him every snap, and even passing hard enough because he's 6'8", right in the middle of the line. At linebacker, Fred Warner looks fantastic. He's much bigger and stronger than last year, much more physical, knocking running backs backward. Quan Alexander's been tough because he's been in and out of the lineup, and it's been hard to really like hone in on what he's doing, but I did notice today he got beat it to the flat, just like a little out route from Tevin Coleman to the sideline. It looked slow, and then a few plays later, he got burned straight up the field by George Kittle, who's fast, but not that fast. I mean, Quan Alexander ran a faster 40 than George Kittle at the combine, but you wouldn't have known that today at practice, and I'm a little concerned because sometimes ACL surgeries can sap you of a little bit of speed and explosiveness, and it looks like that with Quan Alexander, but still, it's only been like 10 months since he had the surgery, so maybe he'll improve. I mean, in the secondary, you mentioned Richard Sherman. A lot of people are expecting him to play better this year. He does look more athletic, but remember last year, no one ever targeted him because the other side of the field was wide open with Kelo Witherspoon losing all confidence early in the season. He's played better, and I think if he continues to play better, quarterbacks will target Richard Sherman more, and we may find he's more vulnerable than we see. Like, he had a lot of trouble covering Dante Pettis and Trent Taylor in particular in camp. Keller Witherspoon actually looked better than Sherman a lot of the time. Maybe that's just an illusion of a non-padded practice. Maybe Sherman in a real game will step it up. But one more injury concern. I just mentioned all those guys in the D-line. The nickelback, Kaywan Williams, who's basically a starter. I mean, he's going to play 75% of the snaps. He just had a knee scope. Also had a platelet-rich injection, going to miss the next 2 weeks. So that's not good. I mean, Nick Bosa, D. Ford, Eric Armstead, Ronald Blair, Kaywan Williams, Jimmy Ward. What is that, 6-7 guys? But one silver lining we have is this second-year guy, Javarius Moore. They had him at corner last year because that's what the DB coach, Jeff Hafley, wanted to play him. Jeff Hafley's gone. They got a new DB coach who moved him back to free safety more where he played in college. And today he broke up that long pass to Kittle that I was talking about when Quan Alexander got, I mean, Javarius Moore saved his ass. And then a couple plays later, he intercepted Jimmy Garoppolo in the end zone. Just read his eyes, stepped in front of the pass, picked it off. So if he can defend the run, he already looks like an asset in coverage. I mean, I can't remember any free safety on the 49ers since Robert Saleh's been the defensive coordinator who's ever made a play, except for Jaquas Chart week one, 2017, when he made that unbelievable one-handed interception near the goal line. Since then, I mean, you never even see him on the field. So this guy might actually be an asset for them. There's more.
Wow, interesting. Well, definitely appreciate in-depth analysis there. And, man, sounds like I might need to start getting printing out a label for the 49ers that says damaged goods, because, my Lord, between the injuries this year and guys who are trying to return from injuries, certainly a flag of caution there. We kind of touched on it, so I'll just ask you, in regards to Jimmy Garoppolo, how good he can be this year returning from an ACL, especially I think from a mobility and scrambling standpoint. We talked about the offensive line. When you take in consideration the weapons that he has around him, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say your confidence level is that Garoppolo, along with Shanahan and the pieces that they have around him, if the offensive line, let's just say, can hold his own, scale to 1 to 10, you know, how do you feel about this offense, I guess, putting up 24-plus points a game, which I think is a fair number if you're looking at trying to win, you know, consistently in the NFL?
I want to say a 5 because when you look at Shanahan's track record, he's always going to rank, like, top 10, certainly top 30. Well, last year was 16, but usually top 10 in yards. Like, he's a monster with yards. He'll get those big plays. He'll get one or two big runs a game, one or two big passes a game. But when he gets to the red zone, he never has the answers. He's always bottom half of the league in red zone. So he has this phenomenon where he ranks high in yards, ranked low in points. And as long as the wide receiver position is this big of an issue, I think that's going to continue. I think their red zone offense is going to be an issue again without wide receivers who can win one-on-one. So what I see from Jimmy Garoppolo is, A, he's going to need help. We already talked about the wide receiver and the offensive line, but he's an interesting case because he played so well in 2017 and, in my eyes, played so poorly in 2018. What is he? We know he can play well, but from what I perceive what happened in 2018 was he's not a cerebral quarterback. Even though he was in New England with Belichick, he was with Brady, he's just not a cerebral quarterback. He's much more of a feel quarterback. He plays on instinct. You see him. He almost doesn't think. He makes these snap throws, and it's very impressive. And that's what he did in 2017. He had like 1/16th of the playbook and learned and knew very, very little because there wasn't time for him to learn it. He was on the team for a month before he got in the game. So he had a very pared-down system, which I think fit him, and he could just sort of go out and play on instinct. And he looked like a 35-year-old who has been in the league for 10 years and had a ton of experience. Last year, they ramped it up with what he's responsible to know in the playbook. And all of a sudden, he's hesitating. He's taken 13 sacks in 3 games. He's looking like he's thinking and not being able to play on feel anymore. So they have a dilemma. If they have the same issue this year, and he just – Kyle Shanahan's notoriously complicated, dense offense just doesn't bring out the best in him, and he's struggling again, the Niners have to make a decision. Do they pare down the offense like they did in 2017 and allow Jimmy Garoppolo to flourish? Or do they stick with Kyle Shanahan's system that works so well in Atlanta under Matt Ryan and ditch Jimmy Garoppolo and bring in Nick Mullins? I don't know what the right answer is. I don't know if they know what the right answer is, and I'm sure they're probably not even going there mentally, but that's out there. I mean, this guy needs to prove that he's smart enough to handle the most difficult offense in the league. And if he's not smart enough, there's no knock against him because he's smart enough for every other system that's out there. He could go back to New England and do well. But I'm just not sure that he's really suited for this offense. We assumed he was in 2017, but remember, he wasn't running the full thing. Last year was a closer approximation of what that would look like, and it looked bad. It looked like a guy who was not in the system, the right system for him. And you see Nick Mullins come in, and he can operate. I mean, he's been in it 3 years. He knows exactly where to go on every play. So it's a conundrum. If the guy looks overwhelmed, do you pare things down, or do you just swap him out for Nick Mullins and believe in the system? It's a tough one. Well, what would you do?
Well, I would say this. For the amount of money that he's getting paid, I think that 49ers fans and, you know, people in the media like me and you definitely are looking for Jimmy Garoppolo to play well. He may not be able to control the circumstances around him, and we'll certainly understand that he's returning from an ACL. But again, man, I don't know how comfortable and confident 49ers fans in particular can be feeling hearing these type of things coming from you, who's got direct eyes on the 49ers training camp for a guy who they paid so much money for. What, in my estimation, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Let me tell you this.
Yeah.
11 practices, he's completing 57% of his passes. So it's not like he's knocked off all the rust and he's the guy he was 2 years ago. He still looks like the guy he was in 2018. This could be a persistent issue. You see what I'm saying?
No, I'm with you totally. Before we get you out of here, Grant, just want to talk about a couple young players on both sides of the ball. We're talking about tackle Mike McGlinchey. They picked up in the first round last year. I think a lot of people had question marks around it just based on some of the other players that were out there in the 49ers' needs. You talk about desperation at the safety position. A guy like Derwin James can go by on the board and some other players. But I think in the bigger scheme of things, people respected Mike McGlinchey, kind of was regarded as the best tackle in the draft. And you figure you spend the type of money on Jimmy Garoppolo, you want to bring in a guy to protect him. And then also let's touch on Solomon Thomas on the defensive side of the football, guy who the 49ers spent, you know, a top five draft pick on the year after going out and spending a high draft pick on DeForest on the defensive line as well. And he's been a guy who you just really haven't heard much about entering the third year, kind of that year where teams look at players closely. And from there, you know, if a guy's not producing, they'll usually make a decision to move on. So how are both of those young guys looking in training camp so far, and what potentially can we expect from them?
You know, I'm not the most enthusiastic guy about McGlinchey and Solomon Thomas. Just to preface it right there, I don't mean to be negative, but I'm going to be negative. I mean, McGlinchey, a lot of people like McGlinchey, and he did have an impressive rookie year at times, but I went through every single sack, and I counted he gave up 12 sacks. 12 sacks in 16 games. The way I look at McGlinchey, he's a good right tackle. I don't think he'll ever be a left tackle because I think in pass protection, he's clunky. I would use the word clunky and even a little clumsy. Like, I'm relatively sure he was the one who hurt Nick Bosa yesterday. He's the one who fell and landed on Nick Bosa's knee. He falls a lot. Supreme NFL athletes, what I've noticed is they basically, in practice, can stand the feet. They can do the movements they need to do and not fall down. But once he falls down a lot, I mean, that's a nitpicky small thing, but they had Trent Brown, who's now the highest paid offensive lineman of all time. And they got rid of him because he didn't fit their run scheme. I mean, is that any reason to get rid of an offensive lineman? You want pass protection. Like, run blocking is important, but pass protection is what wins and loses games. And there's really no one better than Trent Brown, and you replace him with a guy who's a better fit outside zone run blocking. Like, he can reach block better and get out of his stance and run towards the sideline, but when it's time to block someone like Von Miller on 3rd and 8, I mean, good luck, Mike. And good luck, Jimmy. I mean, it's too bad they couldn't have worked things out with Trent Brown and maybe kept him as well as Mike McGlinchey, because as good as Joe Staley is, he's 35 years old, and he declined a little bit last year, and I think that will probably continue. Just about Solomon Thomas, he's an awfully nice guy, and I think he's a terrific run defender. He wouldn't be a bust if he had been drafted in the right spot, maybe late second, early third round, but when you drafted at the third overall pick, everyone expects that you're going to be like Reggie White. Like, you're going to be a Hall of Fame pass rusher, a guy who finishes his career with 100 sacks or something crazy, 70 sacks, something like that. At least have a few double-digit seasons, and I just don't believe he's ever going to get there. I've watched a lot of him. I mean, let's compare him to Nick Bosa because they have the same body type. They both look more like bodybuilders than football players. They have real thick legs, real thick chest, real short arms. Nick Bosa, that doesn't really affect him because his technique is so good. He never stays blocked. He always works edges. He's always working to get around someone. And if his first move doesn't work, he's got counters. He has a plan. Solomon Thomas always rushes directly into an offensive lineman's chest, like right down the middle. And maybe that worked in college, but in the NFL, these offensive linemen are way bigger, way more athletic than him. And that doesn't work. So once he gets stonewalled, which he does every time, he never has a counter. There's no counter. He's just a bull rusher up the middle that gets nowhere. I mean, Eric Armstead's the same way, but Eric Armstead's 6'8", and he moves people. Solomon Thomas in the NFL gets stalemated in the pass rush. I don't believe he'll ever be an asset in third down, but I do believe probably once the Niners get rid of him and he goes to another team on a one-year prove-it deal, you know, probably like the Patriots. They always get guys like that. He'll be a terrific rotational run defender, and they'll find a role for him. But in Santa Clara, having been the number three pick, he'll always carry the stench around of being a bust, and that's not his fault.
All right. Good deal, Grant. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show today. Information was very accurate and fact-based, and that's what it's all about here, NFLExporter.com. And what we're respected for is bringing facts to the table, you know, using logic, you know, and being able to get straight, direct to the point and give the people the information that they need before you get out of here, Grant. And we certainly look forward to having you back throughout the course of the season. Keep tabs on the 49ers since you got direct eyes on them. Let everybody know where they can find you on Twitter, and let them know where they can be able to keep up with your works, maybe any other areas that they can find you and keep up with your written work and things of that nature.
Sure. My Twitter handle is at Grant Cohn, one word, GRANTCONN. And I write for the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. You can find me online, 49ers.pressdemocrat.com. All my stuff's up there. And I have a YouTube page, too, where I do film breakdowns, about 20 minutes. I do, like, trends and players and stuff like that. I don't even know what my YouTube name is, but just search Grant Cohn on there. You'll find it, and you'll find some good stuff.
All right, Grant, sounds excellent. But again, thank you for doing a great job today. Make sure to take it easy. Definitely don't want you wearing down before the season even starts. And, man, you should have some fun watching the 49ers' first preseason game this upcoming weekend. And, again, we thank you very much, and we look forward to having you join us sometime again throughout the season.
Thanks for having me, Lance. It was my pleasure. Call me anytime.
Absolutely. All right, so that's going to wrap it up. That was Grant Cohn. Excellent interview there. We're going to run to a quick commercial break. When we come back, it'll be more pure NFL here on NFLExporter.com.